Florida Repertory Theater in downtown Fort Myers began performances of August Wilson's Fences this week. The show runs through January 30th. The play is part of Wilson's Pulitzer Prize-winning American Century Cycle. It's a series of 10 plays set in different decades that explore aspects of the African-American experience in the 20th century. Joining us now via phone is the production's director, Benny Sato Ambush. Benny, he's a veteran stage director, institutional theater leader, educator, consultant, and published commentator. He teaches acting and directing in BA, BFA, and MFA programs at institutions across the country. He's a former producing artistic director at Theater Virginia, a producing director with the Oakland Ensemble Theater, associate artistic director with the American Conservatory Theater, and a former Pew Charitable Trust and TCG director in residence here in Florida, and an associate artistic director with the Institute on the Arts and Civic Discourse at Harvard University. And that's really just naming a few of his accomplishments. Benny, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. So happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
And I know we need to let you go, relatively soon. You've got a performance coming up just in about an hour.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And we're joined in studio now also by the Florida Reps, recently named new artistic director and founding Florida Rep Theater Company member, Greg Longenhagen. He's worked on about 60 different productions with the Florida Rep, either as a director, actor, dialect coach, or fight choreographer. I'd like to unpack that a little later. His past performance with the Florida Rep, the last one, rather, on the main stage was in The House of Blue Leaves, and his extensive acting credits include performances with numerous theater companies throughout Southwest Florida, as well as throughout Southwestern Pennsylvania, where the plays from August Wilson's American Century Cycle, including Fences, are actually set. Longenhagen has served as a theater professor here at FGCU since 2015. He's also been responsible for the production of numerous advertising campaigns and video projects with Abbott Productions here in Southwest Florida, where he serves as President and Chief of Operations. Greg Longenhagen, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, John. Great to be here.
And, of course, I invite listeners to connect with our guests and join the conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And Benny, I wanted to start with you. I talked a little bit about the backdrop of Fences in regards to its involvement in the American Century Cycle. This one, the decade is the 1950s. So, clearly before the civil rights movement really took hold. Can you give us maybe just a brief synopsis of this play?
Troy Maxson was a star in the Negro baseball leagues at a time when baseball was segregated and African-Americans were not permitted to play in the major baseball leagues, which were white. Troy Maxson has a checkered past, but along the way began to turn his life around and married a woman named Rose and had a child by her named Corey. From a previous liaison, there's another son named Lyons, and they are living in the Hill District of Pittsburgh, where most of August Wilson plays are set. And the play opens in 1957. And Troy is a titanic figure, a larger-than-life figure, who carries with him a large dream deferred within him. And August Wilson wrote Fences to explore in this decade of the 50s what it feels like for many African-Americans to have had their dreams deferred by the racism and oppression and the truncation of opportunities that were so prevalent during that time. So it's a family drama that also centers on a father-son relationship multi-generationally and the impact of a tragic flaw of this titanic figure, Troy Maxson, on his family and those around him.
One of the things I love about the character Troy, and I think this carries through, character development and all of the, August Wilson plays, at least the ones that I've had the privilege to see so far. He's a really complex character, as you alluded to. He's, got a lot of great qualities. He's taking care of his family, but also some deep flaws. He's ends up with a baby from an extramarital affair. As I understand it, and I'm looking forward to seeing your production of Fences, the marriage never really recovers from that.
Well, marriages rarely do in situations like that, but Foy stays there with the family for a number of years until his death in an altered relationship with his wife and with his sons. So the play, in part, explores the aftermath of that indiscretion. And without giving it away, I don't want to give it away too much.
Sure, of course.
There's even more.
Sure,
even
yes.
More beyond that. So in a very special surprise at the end.
Yeah, and I apologize. I didn't mean to set you up to give anything away. I think that's one of
That's fine.
It's one of the little minefields you tiptoe when you're talking about plays and you don't want to ruin anything for the audience. You know, and another kind of theme that I think runs through the play, and you alluded to this as well, is, you know, the segregation of sports at the time, Troy being a skilled athlete previously in the Negro League baseball, but then his son wanting to pursue sports through football, and Troy, based on his experience, not wanting his son to meet the same kind of racial discrimination he faced. And then that kind of sullies their relationship throughout the play as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing about fatherly love for sons and wanting to protect a son from the pain and anguish that the father has experienced in his life. But the double-edged sword of this is that it's also impeding the hopes and dreams of the younger person, and those dynamics are explored in this play very much so. It's a tough thing raising children.
Yeah.
any parent would relate to this play.
All right.
Any parent that has raised children.
We've spoken on past editions of this program about, you know, other local theater companies putting on productions of other August Wilson plays, I think most recently with Sandra McCarter. And, you know, one of the things that has come up in those conversations is the cogency of putting on a production like this in a place like Southwest Florida, which still remains largely segregated. Can you comment on that or on the importance of bringing the ideas and themes that run through Wilson's plays to audiences here?
Well, actually, I think Greg could perhaps answer that more directly because Greg is here. I'm a guest in Greg's house at the Florida Rep. It's my first time directing at the Florida Rep, so I'm just now getting introduced with the very large and loyal audiences that I've seen during the first couple of previews that have been developed in the 21 years that Florida Rep has been here. But I don't really know the dynamics of this area. Greg, could you perhaps chime in here?
Absolutely, Benny. I'd be happy to. This is it is our greatest hope is that the Florida Rep to bring in some new audience members into the theater with this production. We've certainly never had anything on the stage quite like this before, and it you know, as Benny had said, it does speak to the living conditions, situations that were occurring in African American society in the Hill District of Pittsburgh during this time period in the 50s. And while the themes of the play are universal, and it's an extremely humanistic play, anyone will identify with it. The struggles in there are very specific to this story, and it is our hope that we will be able to reach some new audiences with this material.
Gotcha. And Greg, was the decision to bring Fences to the Florida Rep made before you took over as artistic director?
It was. I think that the but I'm very glad that it was made. I think it's the time has come for us to do August Wilson's work, and I think Fences is arguably his best, if not one of his best pieces. So I'm grateful that we're doing it, and we have a phenomenal team assembled for this project, and just really, really excited that we're finally doing August Wilson. I think it was something that the theater had been wanting to do for some time, and it's just you know, in running a theater, and I'm new to running this theater company, but I certainly am able to understand that, you know, you have to pick it when the time is right, because you're trying to balance the entire season when you're presenting a season. And I think that this was a really good choice, and I think it fits very well into the season next to some of the other productions that we have on board.
All right. And Benny, go ahead, Benny, please.
I'd like to speak a little bit more about this interplay between the specific and the universal.
Okay.
This is something Plato wrote about back in ancient times, that engendered in the specific is the universal. And writers like August Wilson, and he's my favorite kind of playwright because he's a poet playwright. He was a poet before he was a playwright. By remaining faithful to the specificity of his community in the Hill District, he opened up access universally to all people. This is really the way it works. The great Irish playwright Brian Friel was all over this as well. Many of his plays are set in the fictitious county of Ballybeg in Donegal, on northwestern Ireland. But by being very faithful and specific to that culture, it becomes accessible universally. And this is the unique transformative power of theater, where people can go to the theater and see themselves in the other.
Yeah.
This is really, really important. This is why theater is vital in the social fabric of this nation and anywhere in the world. The ability for people to see themselves in the other.
Absolutely. And, you know, August Wilson's writing really does a phenomenal job with that. I wanted to focus in on the setting for this play and for many of the other plays in this series, the Hill District, which, of course, is a very real place.
Yes.
Greg, I know you went to the University of Pittsburgh. I attended Duquesne University,
right, yep.
Which is interesting because geographically, the Hill District is almost sandwiched between those two places. You know, when I was a student and I was working as a reporter at the NPR member station in the early 2000s, I filed numerous stories on the work of the Pittsburgh Citizen Police Review Board. And they provided independent investigations into complaints of police abuse or misfeasance. And I can tell you the lion's share of incidents they investigated, at least at that time, came from residents in the Hill District. So, you know, although this play is set in the 50s, I'm wondering, is it hard for you to, you know, reflect on perhaps how much hasn't changed since that time, Benny, you know, as it relates to themes of discrimination in the play and how that impacts the lives of individuals and the relationship dynamics of people who live within this sort of social and institutional racism?
Well, in many ways, it's the same old, same old. Sometimes it assumes a different face, but at the bottom of it, it's the same old, same old. Our country, as well as our world, has difficulty knowing how to consistently treat people fairly and equally. We divide ourselves along race and culture and religion and body type and zip code, and I mean, you name it. We just seem to have this defect in human nature that puts people in hierarchies and then behaves often badly because of that. It's unfortunate. Taking a view of what has been in the 20th century in a play like Fences gives us a chance to reflect upon our current behavior in our current circumstances and to see where things haven't changed and where things have improved. I mean, things have improved since then, but we have a ways to go.
Yeah. And you know, with a play like this, you know, you have an all-black cast, or at least a primarily all-black cast. And I'm wondering, Benny, on your perspective on if racial identity remains a struggle for many black stage actors, or have we kind of largely moved away from that kind of casting?
Very much so for stage actors, for stage directors like myself, for designers, you name it. And the thing about it is, it is often an issue when we don't even bring it up. It's often thrust in our face.
How do you mean?
Even when we try to not even mention it, it is most often thrown in our face, and it's raised, and then we have to deal with it. So I've been very fortunate in my career as a stage director and an educator, but I've also have had my own examples of having doors closed and not being able to progress or move in ways that my white counterparts have. So this is America. We are an imperfect nation working our way towards realizing the lofty pronouncements that are in our founding documents, and we've made some progress, but we still have some work to do.
Yeah. And Benny, maybe switching gears just a little bit, can I ask you to wax poetic a little bit about the cast that you've been working with? Because I'm just thinking,
I love them! Every single one of them. Every single one of them. And some of them are old friends.
Yeah.
My Troy Maxim is an actor I worked with, I directed 32 years ago when I was the producing artistic director of the Oakland Ensemble Theater in Oakland, California. And we worked on a production of William Mastro Simone's Tamer of Horses in 1986. And Mujahid is his name. And I have stayed in touch all of these years, but we haven't had a chance to work together again until now. 32 years later, that's amazing. And both he and I have grown tremendously as artists, and it's been a very happy reunion. One of our other actors, Mark Pierre, was a student at Emerson College, where I used to teach in Boston. I directed him when he was a student. I have since directed him professionally in the Boston area, working with him on this production. And in about 2.5 months, he and I will be working again professionally in a production up in the Boston area in March. And the others are new to me, but boy, are they fantastic. Yeah. Every single one of them, including the young ladies who play Raynell, 7-year-old Raynell, who are local performers in this community.
Johnny Ann and Jolie.
All right.
Yes.
Well, and I wonder if you or if you get a sense that the actors maybe feel a bit of a heavy weight playing characters, you know, just because August Wilson's plays have become so iconic. But also, you know, thinking about characters like Troy, I mean, these are parts that in the past have been played by greats like James Earl Jones or Denzel Washington. I mean, those are some pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah. I often speak about Troy Maxson as the African-American leader. I mean, it's a huge role and a huge mythic, dramatic figure on par with some of the great roles that many actors wish to test their mettle with. So it's a Mount Everest of a play, a Mount Everest of a role in Troy and Rose, and this play very much is about Rose, the wife.
Yeah.
So I think actors are up for the challenge, and we are enjoying the responsibility of shouldering the weight of such a great play from a truly great American playwright, one of the greatest American playwrights we have ever had, up there with Tennessee Williams and Eugene O'Neill and Arthur Miller and Sam Shepard. I would put August Wilson right up there with them.
Me too.
Yeah, and this play is so chock full of allegory and symbolism, and again, I know we might be treading into dangerous waters in terms of giving something away, but if you can respond without doing that, I was hoping that you could explore perhaps the deeper meaning of the title. You know, of course, it does refer to a little literal fence, but there's more to it than that.
Well, fences are throughout poetry and philosophical writings since time immemorial. They've talked about fences or various kinds of fences and the metaphorical meaning of fences. Was it Robert Frost who said good fences make good neighbors? Well, maybe. sometimes you need a fence to separate people, things. Sometimes you need a fence as a protective measure. The multiple meanings of fences are explored all throughout this play, and I encourage everybody to come check it out to see for themselves.
Yeah, I think there's certainly going to be some great post-show conversations among patrons who come out to the show. Mm-hmm. We're exploring the Florida Repertory Theater's production of August Wilson's drama Fences with the show's director. The Florida Rep's artistic director, Greg Longenhagen, is with us as well. And if you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Greg, first of all, belated congratulations on the new position.
Thanks, John.
And I guess I just have to ask, first of all, with everything else you have on your plate, what even made you want to do this?
Well, you know, truth be told, I have had to release myself from some of the other responsibilities I've had. I, you know, as you said, I was a teacher here for 4 years at Florida Gulf Coast University, and I also own and operate my own marketing and television production company. The teaching position I've had to leave, and the production company I have opened, but I have shelved, and I have other people helping me with that so that I can concentrate fully on this new position, which will require it. I knew that going in, and that was part of the plan. But you know, one of the things that was potentially on board for this to fill this position was the possibility that someone from outside of the community would come in and take over the position. And were that to happen, certainly it wouldn't happen right away. But eventually, everything that we know about the Rep, you could assume, would change. And you know, quite frankly, this has been my artistic home for over 20 years, and I, you know, and the artistic home for many of my great friends, and even Benny and I. If this is the first time we've actually worked together, but Benny, what was the, when were you at Florida Stage? Was that in the
late
90s?
1990s.
Yeah, so
where we first met.
That's
yeah.
When we first met, 1997, I think, or 1998. So yeah. You know, people like Benny and other artists who are visiting and come in, designers, actors, that would have all changed. And I really felt like it was my responsibility to at least put my hat in the circle to prevent any of that from happening so that what we've built over the last 20 years could progress from where we are to do even better work. And I fully believe in the, you know, the mission, part of the mission of the company, which is to engage an ensemble of artists. I think there's a huge evidence that that's a great way to run a theater company, and there's a lot of positives that come out of that. One of them I'll say, and I know Benny and I were just talking about this, I think recently, Benny, that it's the dialogue that you have with your fellow artists. There's a shorthand that you develop.
Yeah.
And it's extremely yeah. important. I mean, it's, you know, you work very intimately with each other, and I think that that is that only benefits what the art is at the end of the, you know, at the end of the process, and what our audiences are then entreated to. So, I know it's a long explanation, but that's it.
Yeah. Do you think the Florida Rep will tackle other plays from Wilson's American Century Cycle in the future?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think. This
Yay.
Is a, yeah.
So maybe Benny will come back too.
Oh, we'll have Benny back. We love working with Benny, and you know, Benny's name. I mean, I know you rattled off you know a list of accolades as long as both of my legs, but
we'd still be talking about.
I know. Benny is like the yeah. he's like the king. I mean, he has done so much, and he understands so much about this particular writer and so many other. I mean, he's directed everything. I mean, he's leaving here to go. We're lucky we got him, quite frankly, John, because he's leaving. Benny, you leave today. Don't you have to head out of town today?
I leave in a few hours, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So to go on to his next gig, you know. So,
my next gig, yeah.
Yes, we were able to get him. But yes, the short answer is I've been a huge August Wilson fan ever since reading the first time I read any of his work. And I've seen Fences and several other of his plays over time in my career, and I just he is arguably one of the greatest American authors of the last, I would say, 150 years. I mean, it is beautiful work, and it should be done, and we will absolutely consider working on more August Wilson pieces.
And do you personally have like a formula or a way that you would decide whether or not you want to pursue a specific production in the future? And aside from that, how are those decisions made? Because I doubt you do it unilaterally.
Well, we have a responsibility as a theater company to present a variety of works to the community. I mean, we are Southwest Florida's Equity Professional Theater Company. I know in certainly Lee County, and I see it as a responsibility. I serve several on my board also feel that way. Several on our staff feel this way too. To be able to present a variety, if you go back to the history of regional theaters, and I won't go and bore you with all of that, but we want to be able to do not just the commercially acceptable piece. We want to challenge audiences as well. We want to enrich them. We want to educate them on different things. And at the very first thing you have to do is entertain. Whatever you're doing, it mm-hmm. has to be entertaining, right? So we look at very carefully at how to balance a season with a variety of works so that audiences are getting a little bits and pieces of all of that stuff, if that makes sense.
And as I understand it, your predecessor was something of a stern taskmaster, but your leadership style is maybe a bit more toned down. Have you got the sense that there's been maybe a little bit of a period of adjustment with the actors, directors, and all the staff there at the Florida Rep?
Yeah, the good news is that I've known these people for a long time. I mean, I work at the theater regularly, not as part of operations, but everybody that's in the building I've known for quite some time. And I think that I think my leadership style is different from Bob's. I don't know exactly Bob's leadership style, so I couldn't really speak to it. I know Bob from working in the rehearsal hall, and it's a little bit different, I think, when you're working as an actor or a fight choreographer or any of that stuff, dialect coach, etc. It's because the rehearsal space is kind of a sacred space. It's sort of different than when you're in the office. I mean, the business end of much of what goes on in the business side of you're in the administrative offices. But when you're in a rehearsal hall, and I know, I'm sure Benny, you feel the same way. I mean, most actors and directors never feel as much at home as when they're in the rehearsal room with a bunch of other artists. Would you say that's true, Benny?
I would indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very comforting place. It feels right. But I feel confident that we've got great people on our team. Not just on our production team, our artistic team, our administrative team, sure. And they're all very, very focused on doing a good job. And I'm a firm believer in leaving the banjo playing to the banjo player, if you can do so.
Sure.
And also in motivating people and encouraging them. I think a little of that can go a long way. When you see good, call it good. If you see things that need to be repaired, repair it. But repair it, but be kind. There's ways to lead and bring people along. And I think that we're in a really good place as a company, and I'm extremely excited for our future.
Speaking of which, before we let you go, Jason Parrish was on the show a few months back, and we previewed, I think, just about the entire current season. But is there anything in particular coming up in the next few months that you're just really excited about?
John, I'm excited about all of it because I love the fact that we do a variety. But, after Fences, we've got Hay Fever, a Noel Coward comedy, which is another fantastic piece. I did it years ago when I was in college. I was so excited to see that on the bill. We're doing Million Dollar Quartet, which is this fantastic musical is based on a real event where Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis were in town in Memphis at Sun Studios, Sam Phillips Sun Studios, at Christmas time in 1954, all in one room at one place, the only time it ever happened, never happened after that, and they do a jam session. And this is selling like hotcakes right now. We're already extending it. Native Gardens is going to be coming up at the end of the season. That's a great brand new play, funny comedy that we'll be doing. And of course, Tenderly is running right now, the Rosemary Clooney musical. And then in our education program, we have things happening in there all the time. That's a wonderfully growing and flourishing programs, I should say, that we have at the theater.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this portion of the program, but I want to thank my guest. We've been speaking with Greg Longenhagen, recently named new artistic director at the Florida Repertory Theater, and Benny Ambush directs the Florida Rep's currently running production of August Wilson's Fences. That show runs through January 30th. Greg, always great to speak with you.
You too,
and
John.
Benny, we wish you safe travels as you move on to your next endeavor, and we can't wait to have you back in Southwest Florida.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, the Sydney and Burn Davis Arts Center's annual Taps and Tunes Craft Beer and Music Festival returns to Centennial Park in downtown Fort Myers this Saturday. We'll get a preview of the event, including music selections from some of the local bands who will be featured. That's just ahead. Stay with us. I'm John Davis, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live.